Happy Saturday, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Our Blue Bahamas, where we promote the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. Today, we are going to talk about wonder beneath the waves as we celebrate World Oceans Month, which is the month of June in the Bahamas. So in honor of World Oceans Month 2025, we are talking about the Bahamian marine environment and national efforts that we're taking to protect it. We will reflect on the significance of the Prime Minister's renewed proclamation of National Ocean Protection Week and Brief's impactful community snorkel and the Bahamas' identity as a large ocean nation. So we, from coral out planting at the Brief Sir Nicholas Nuttall Coral Reef Sculpture Garden to celebrating ocean stewardship across the communities, this episode is basically a love letter to the sea. I'm your host, Crystal. Today, I am here with Jasmine and Heather, our outreach persons at Brief, and we'll just jump right into it.
Thank you so much for having us again, Crystal.
So, Jasmine, this year's theme is wonder, sustaining what sustains us. What does this theme mean to you? I'll open this up for you and Heather.
When I saw this World Oceans Day theme, I just kind of lit right up because I think this holiday closely aligns with what Brief does. And a lot of the work that I do at Brief, and that's just letting the wider community know and kids know that our oceans support us in so much different ways. And that's from our oxygen, from the way it's part of our cultural identity as Bahamians, and you know, it sustains our fisheries. So it's so much things. So when I think about the ocean, I think about it being our lifeline.
Yeah, and I also think about the experiences we offer here at Brief. We really give people that firsthand step into the water and to really open their eyes to the wonders of what's under our marine environment and what's in our oceans. And so I thought that was really important, wonder beneath the waves, because we really curate wonderful experiences that leave students in awe that they're seeing amazing coral reefs or giant Nassau groupers just swimming on the reef. And really taking those experiences back with them really sets in stone that theme for this year.
Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I would also like to highlight something that many people may not know about. When we talk about the significance of our oceans in the Bahamas, a lot of people don't know or may not realize that the Bahamas is home to approximately 1/3 of all the coral reefs in the Caribbean region. So that is quite a bit of coral reefs, right? When you think about the entire Caribbean, then, you know, the Bahamas is playing that significant role. And our coral reefs do much more, as I think Heather would be the best one to explain this a little bit more in detail. Our coral reefs do much more than just, you know, sit there under the water and look pretty for tourists to come and snorkel and see.
Yeah, we know our coral reefs are all obviously our food, but it's also protection and it's medicine. It's a livelihood for some people. It's art for some people. And so there's a lot of different ways we can really look at the ocean, not just as something that provides food for our daily lives and for fishermen to catch fish, but also a place that protects our shorelines from intensifying hurricanes or provides really a place to inspire for artists and local Bahamian artists, or even just a habitat for different marine animals that might be passing through. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at the reefs that are right under our noses.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very amazing. And so every year, Brief hosts a World Oceans Day snorkel. It cannot be missed during World Oceans Month. It's so important to us. Jasmine, tell us about the significance of holding that World Oceans Day snorkel and why that one is a little bit different and sentimental from the other snorkels that Brief holds throughout the year.
Okay, well, I would like to say that Just to circle back on the UN theme, wonder. Our snorkel adventures, especially the one we held on World Ocean Day, is full of wonder. A lot of the issues we find in conservation is the disconnect between having the ocean and protecting it. Because if you don't know exactly what's there, it's a chance that you won't pay much attention to it. So our World Ocean Day snorkel just centers the community and invites the entire community to come and just experience some of the wonders of our ocean. And we had it right off the shore, so it's very beginner friendly. It's a shallow snorkel, but then you're able to see one of a patch reef, which, as we know, if you didn't know, that our coral reefs are the most biodiverse ecosystem in the world. So you're having that firsthand experience with, this is where science meets wonder, meets conservation, and it's just an amazing time for the community to get involved and have some insight into what Brief does.
Yeah, and I can completely agree with that, because I like what you're saying, it brings another layer, right? It presents another layer and depth. Of course, as Bahamians or people living here, we have a certain sentiment or cultural identity that is tied in with the ocean, right? One of my friends often says, you know, whenever they travel anywhere, they look out, and because they anticipate seeing the ocean on the horizon, because it's kind of built in to our brains, right? That when we look out in the distance, there'll be an ocean. But sometimes if you're like in another country at a completely different landscape, it may feel a little bit odd, right? Because you're always like seeking that ocean. And like you said, you have a kind of almost wired appreciation of the ocean. And our relationship with the ocean is, yeah, the Bahamians usually go to the beach, especially during the holidays. And, you know, it's a place where, you know, associated with fun, livelihood, parties, things like that. But many people don't have the chance or the opportunity to actually see what's underneath, right? And so I think that is a part of, you know, really experiencing the true wonder, you know, of the Bahamian waters.
I like that you made that point, Crystal, because oftentimes when it comes to the ocean and really doing new experiences in general, we often let our fears and our anxieties control how we assume these experiences will play out. And oftentimes when you are in the water, it is a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear, but that's just because you're doing something new. This is uncharted territory for you. Of course, you're going to feel a little anxious. That's why when we curate these experiences with these students, we really try to take it slow and really go at their pace so that they don't build these traumatic experiences that are connected to the ocean. It's a really enjoyable, calm experience that they can take with them. And then hopefully if they get to the level where they can go out and see some fish and corals, then they really build those wonderful memories that really stick with them and last forever. I can remember my first snorkel from when someone really introduced it to me and just said, try, put your head under the water and see what you can see. And from then it's been history, amazing history.
Surely. And, you know, when you go on these snorkels, you're not just going to be looking at corals, or as people may refer to some of them, rocks, right? They're not rocks. They're living organisms, right, under the water, and they provide shelter, food, you know, so many things for, it's like a complete habitat for marine species that are all tied into the food web that we rely on for our fisheries in the Bahamas, for a whole industry. And then there's tourism. These fish and these reefs contribute to clean, clear waters. The reason why the ocean is so clear isn't because, oh, you know, we have a lot of it. It's because we have healthy reefs, right? We have healthy reefs. That's what makes the Bahamian ocean so interesting and so unique. And then, you know, we're also sanctuary, right, for certain species. But also going into, you know, ocean protection, why do we feel like we also see the government making moves, and they're making moves to support conservation and you know, endorsing and supporting several initiatives about ocean protection. So one of those was the renewal, yes, of the National Ocean Protection Week, right? The proclamation that went out, and we saw it in the newspapers this month. It was really exciting for us. Why, this is my question to the panel, like, why is this so significant for us to really acknowledge a move like this from the government? Why is this so important for us?
Yeah. So initially, when it was first signed, we were really excited that this issue was even being acknowledged. We first wanted to really identify and celebrate World Oceans Day as a day that not only government, but stakeholders and local organizations could really reflect on the oceans and really be mindful of the issues they're facing, including climate change, habitat destruction, and all of these associated risks. And now that we've had a renewal 2 years in a row now, it really confirms that our government is seeing this as an issue that is important and should be addressed. And so it's an amazing step forward for the whole oceanscape, because it really puts us forward in a step where we're getting government affiliation for the ocean and government support for the ocean. And even with the treaty that was recently signed, that also further confirms that our governments are really trying to push and really promote ocean initiatives.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing is that it's very, this is significant for government to also be involved in these types of, you know, supportive gestures, basically. And the continuation of that is, why is it so important for the precedent to be set, right? What is the significance of this precedent being set in the Bahamas to protect our oceans?
Well, Crystal, you know, right now we're in a generation right now where climate change is the issue of our generation. And it's so deeply connected to the ocean when it comes to sea level rise, when it comes to ocean acidification. And for any type of meaningful change for this issue to be addressed, we need support from every stakeholder level. And this National Ocean Protection Week proclamation just shows the government support. Then, you know, from our support, we're having the NGO support. And then also with our grassroots initiatives, we're getting more of the community support. So for any meaningful change to address these issues, we need all levels of support. And that's why I also like the opportunities, like we mentioned with our snorkel. We're just finding people on the beach. So with our snorkel, you know, if you show up at the time that we're there, you have a guided snorkel experience. And that's where we meet a lot of persons who have possibly never heard about Brief or kind of saw something on social media and thought it was a fun thing to do, and then being introduced into the topic of conservation. So just, and like I said, you know, mm-hmm. this is a whole system that we're using to actually get the message out and to get support and to address these real issues.
Mm-hmm. And on that same note, when we're talking about government and international issues and climate change being one of the issues of our time, mm-hmm. right? And a main focus for youth and future generations, because we, you know, we're eventually going to be on our way out. Not that soon, because we're still youthful. but why is it, we're usually considered in an international scope as a small island, developing nation or developing state SIDS, right? We're lumped into that category. But we also like to think of ourselves in the Bahamas as a large ocean nation. Although we're a small island nation, you know, it's a very humbling name, but we're also a large ocean nation. So that should mean something, right? And what I want to ask you and Heather, Jasmine, like, what does that mean to you as a environmentalist, like working every day? Right? This is the fight, right?
Definitely.
What does that mean to you as the Bahamas being not just a small island developing state, but a large ocean nation?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question. Number one, words are important. In no way, me being a Bahamian, I could consider the Bahamas small. Saying a small island nation only tells half of the story. Like, we have these vast territories of ocean resources. We have we have the third largest barrier reef in the world. We have most of the coral reefs in our region. So by just saying we're a small island, we're neglecting all of that by just saying that. And then also too, when we're looking at the issue of climate change, the Bahamas is listed as one of the most vulnerable nations. And so for us, and when we go on an international playing field, mm-hmm. we have to make our presence felt when we're talking about these issues. Although, yes, we do have less island territory but we have this large ocean, and just highlighting the ocean and celebrating ocean, national ocean, UN.
World Oceans Month.
World Oceans Month.
And the National Ocean Protection Week.
Yeah, so celebrating all of these, you know, we're having a good platform to just speak about these issues and to bring about the awareness on even the international levels.
And, well, I know we've been keeping this energy so light and cheerful and happy today. I love that. I love this good energy in here. But we also need to acknowledge the elephant in the room, which are the deniers. There are a lot of people who don't see the significance of the ocean or World Oceans Day. A lot of people out there don't think it's important. And, you know, they just see the ocean as something, you know, you just drive past and look at, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people who may not be too, like, concerned about the protection of the ocean?
Yeah, so like we say in all aspects of our life, it's important to have balance. And when it comes to all of the issues in the world, we know people have more pressing issues to worry about happening in the world, politics, things that are happening directly within their communities. And so it may feel a bit off to make people or to suggest that people care about the ocean or suggest it as a dire concern when they have other concerns that are, you know, more pressing. But when it comes to those community of people who can worry about the ocean or who may be able to fit it into their concerns, like we said, it's all about balance, knowing what you have the capacity to do. And so first start by obviously educating yourself on what is happening in the oceans, because if we don't believe it and if we don't educate ourselves on it, how are we gonna, you know, believe that there needs to be a change? So I definitely suggest that those people to start educating yourself, and that's not just reading textbooks. You could watch a David Attenborough documentary. Those are very informative, and they really are truly helpful in really reshaping your mindset when it comes to caring about our oceans and caring about our environments. And once you've become inspired, find out ways, things that are happening in your local community and other ways that you can get involved to assist or to help with restoration efforts. So taking small steps or even just volunteering your time, that could be at home working from home or that can be in person. It doesn't have to be learning to swim and going out and scuba diving and spearfishing. It can be little tiny steps that can really help to make the change.
Yeah, and also for a person who've been following climate change for well over 10 years now and being in a science space, because that's kind of my background. About 10 years ago, climate change was like, maybe, I'm not sure. But it's so rare that I'd find someone nowadays who are someone who's denying it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, when you start talking about the frequency of hurricanes, when you start talking to people about some of, like, you know, the increasing prices of certain things, of seafood.
Weather conditions.
Yeah. Of some, even sometimes, grocery bills, and you see that the inflation where it's mm-hmm. connected to climate change,
yes.
and where you're seeing a lot of fishermen having to spend more money for gas to go out, so it's affecting you having access to seafood mm-hmm. and all of these things. It's really hard, it's really easy nowadays as compared to back then mm-hmm. to connect the dots, and it's sad to say, but you know, just having these discussions, because a lot of people believe that it's not affecting them. Mm-hmm. So if you tell people that, hey, climate change is affecting your pocket, your money, mm-hmm. you having to freedom, the freedom to be and do the things that you usually do.
Yeah.
It's a really easier conversation to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when you pull like when you're having casual conversations with people and you capture their interest, right? Or you pull them into a conversation about climate change, and you talk to them on the level where they can feel it. Like you said, like when you talk about gas prices, right? And heat, right? And the amount of mm-hmm. the temperature, farmers growing crops, fishermen who have to go out there and they're saying, okay, we see less fish this year, right? And so the fish prices go up, and then that's affecting your budget, right, that you have. So there are so many different ways that even when we talk about intense weather, so that could be not just hurricanes, but it could be heat waves. It could be intense rain and flooding, right, which is also can be inland flooding or coastal flooding. Connected with sea level rise, right? The water is much higher. You talk to some builders, I've been told that they have to build much higher than they used to in the past, because as soon as they, you know, break ground a little bit and go down a few inches or feet into the ground, it's water, you know, and they've never seen that before. So we do have to start thinking differently, and also about the way that we communicate about our oceans with everybody else, right? And a good way to really learn more about these things is not just to participate in our Brief snorkels and other community events that we have at Brief. You can follow us on our social media, but also go online and learn. Like, go online and research. Heather's, you know, put the plug in for the David Attenborough films, but there are also other documentaries out there on your favorite streaming, you know, places that have, almost all of them have nature documentaries, you know, and a lot of, and just in my findings the other day, I was looking for some information on sponge, and I came across this documentary, and the entire documentary was about the Bahamas. It was this guy in Andrus, and he was talking about the sponging industry in the Bahamas, and it was an international documentary.
Wow.
And they said, well, we got to go. We have to talk about this. We're going to the Bahamas. And I was just like, what? And so the Bahamas is such a big point of reference in a lot of these documentaries. And you will see it. And this is what we mean, right? To draw the point home when we say we are a big ocean nation, because people remember us and people think about us when they're thinking about ocean conservation, when they're thinking about ocean science, when they're exploring and trying to teach people about the ocean. They're coming to the Bahamas and referencing the Bahamas as on so many levels, as a sanctuary, as a biodiverse area. Biodiverse meaning, you know, we have many different species of, like I said, like the sponge, right? That's only one of many, many. When shark documentaries, you're hard pressed to find a lot of shark documentaries that don't refer to the Bahamas, right? Because a lot of them do reference us. And a lot of times I'm very surprised to see, right? Surprised to see how much the Bahamas is mentioned, and or you know, like given that highlighted in a lot of these documentaries. So I also want to give you a brief fact. But did you know that the Bahamas ocean territory is over 20 times the size of our land area? That makes the Bahamas a large ocean nation with a big responsibility to care for the sea that cares for us. So like we mentioned earlier, that's just to put a number to it. So there's way more ocean that covers the Bahamas territory than land, right? And so when we think about ourselves and the significance of us being a large ocean nation, this is something that should be noted. Now, I want to ask you, Jasmine and Heather, just as we're wrapping up, how can everyday Bahamians take part in celebrating and protecting our oceans for World Oceans Month? How can everyday Bahamians?
I will first start by saying, really be cautious when you're in the beach. Have your fun. It is such a safe and amazing place to learn, but always be cautious because we see so many accidents happening due to a lack of caution. And so always just first rule is always to be cautious, be aware of your surroundings, be aware of what's happening around you. And once you've educated yourself already and you're ready to step out into the environment, you can take small steps. Start by educating your family, maybe taking your community members out there and starting a wave of ocean lovers. Or you can do a coastal cleanup with your family. Really get your community together. If you live on a coast or if you know your neighbors also live on the coast, you can send out a flyer, hey, let's all clean the beach Saturday morning and make it an initiative for the ocean. Or you can make a donation to an organization that does a similar initiative to really protect our oceans, organizations that encourage research for the ocean, or even just any specific ecosystem that you're fond of, whether you want to support the corals or the mangroves. Those are also great ways to really support those initiatives that are already in place. And then lastly, just being mindful in your everyday life how you're affecting the ocean. So being mindful of your seafood choices, being mindful of what you leave on the beach when you go on the beach, and what you might take away from the beach. Taking a piece of trash is also an option. So like I said, there are a lot of different ways that Bahamians can get involved in being a part in celebrating and protecting our oceans.
Yeah, and to add to that, Heather, I would say there are things that you take from the beach and there are things that you leave on the beach. Mm-hmm. You leave all the natural things on the beach. Definitely. You take all the trash. Mm-hmm. You take all the trash with you. So I usually encourage people to bring like a bucket or mm-hmm. an extra trash bag. Been trying not to use too much. Yeah, been trying not to use too much unnecessary plastics. But yeah, we want to encourage people to take some trash with not like, hey, pick up and order some, but take some trash. If you see anything floating around in the ocean that shouldn't be there, anything else that may be flying around on the sand that shouldn't be there, take it, throw it in the trash or dump it somewhere, where there's a trash available. We know things are not always ideal. The trash cans aren't always, empty. So we really need to make a better effort sometimes just as individuals to take it, to take that initiative, right? Mm-hmm. To take that initiative. Jasmine.
Well, I have two things I want people to do. So listen up. I want to challenge every Bahamian to go to an ocean ecosystem. So that can be a mangrove, that can be the beach. And then when you get there, I want you to take a deep breath and then just for a second appreciate that the ocean generates more than half of the ocean, the oxygen we breathe, and just realize how important that is. And I just want you to, after you just leave the beach, just or whatever marine ecosystem you leave from, have a renewed mindset of how important our oceans are. And then I think everything else would follow. you would be more conscious as a more conscious citizen. But like I say, just to repeat it, go to the ocean, take a deep breath, and just appreciate the ocean. So, mm-hmm. and that's my biggest challenge to everybody. Celebrate World Oceans Day, World Oceans Month, World Oceans Week, National Oceans
Protection Week.
Protection Week, all of these things by going out.
And I completely agree.
And I also want to say, if you're taking a deep breath in the ocean, make sure you have your snorkel with you.
Yes, we don't want to see those. I don't know if that, you won't see much bubbles, but... I completely agree. Heather, Jasmine, you know, if you want to do, you know, a beach cleanup like Heather suggested, or if you want to go and just be with nature and just take in that deep breath, like Jasmine said, hey, take some photos or a video and tag us on social media. Tag us at Brief 242. We would really love to see how you are celebrating World Oceans Month. That we're embracing the Bahamian oceans, whether it's a beach picnic with your family or whether it's a beach cleanup or you're going to snorkel, you're kayaking, however you are embracing the ocean this month. You see this weather out here, y'all? This is good weather. This is good weather. Okay. And good weather is not, subjective. Good weather is, it's nice, it's sunny, it's warm, and the water is nice and cool. Right. And it's probably going to be like that all summer, but this month is special. So please, make an effort to go out there and really embrace World Oceans Month. Like I said, take your photos, do your beach cleanups, have your beach activities and mangrove walks and everything. And you know, hashtag World Oceans Month, hashtag Brief 242, and tag us on our social media. Also, follow us on our social media to see what we're up to this summer. You have a lot of exciting things happening. And also, thank you so much. In closing, thank you so much for listening to Our Blue Bahamas. This is World Oceans Month. So let's not just admire the beauty of the sea. Let's protect it, right? From our reefs to our shores, the ocean sustains us. So now it's our turn to sustain it.